Hey friends, welcome to the Drivecast, a daily podcast designed to help us read it in, pray it up, and live it out. My name's Dan. I serve as the teaching pastor for our Worthington campus. I want to talk to you today about a very specific feeling. It's an odd, quiet heaviness that settles in right about now. We usually call it something like the post-Christmas blues. Think about the buildup. For many of us, the adrenaline started kicking in back in November. If you are crazy, maybe back in October. We spent weeks coordinating schedules, budgeting for gifts, cooking, decorating, and attending Advent or Christmas services. We engineered the season to be as perfect as possible, and maybe it was. Like, maybe it was a fantastic month leading up to Christmas. Maybe the meal was fantastic, the kids were grateful, you had genuine moments of connection. But then the sun goes down on December 25th, the wrapping paper is in the trash, the leftovers are in Tupperware, and suddenly you're staring down the barrel of January, February, and March. It's cold, it's gray, the Blue Jackets still probably aren't playing very well, and the calendar looks unsurprisingly or uninspiringly empty. It's easy to feel like the best part of the story is behind us. But today, I want to suggest that this feeling, this melancholy ache, isn't something to ignore. It's actually something to embrace, something pointing us toward a vital reality. To understand that, we have to look at a man who is having a much worse time than just post-holiday blues. I want to look at the Apostle John. First, let's read it in. We're tuning in to the very end of the Bible, Revelation chapter 21. But before we read the words, picture where John is. Like, he isn't sitting in a warm home recovering from a holiday feast. He's an old man, the end of his life, exiled on the island of Patmos, which was a prison colony for the Roman Empire. John had seen it all. He was the disciple Jesus loved. He watched Jesus heal the sick. He watched him die on the cross. He stood there on the Mount of Olives watching the resurrected Jesus ascend into the clouds. But now he's isolated. Most of his friends are dead. The church is being persecuted. If anyone had reason to feel like the glory days were in the past, it was John. But in that bleak, rocky isolation, God pulls back the curtain. He gives John a vision, not of the past, but of the ultimate future. Here's the text we're looking at, Revelation chapter 21, verses 1 through 5. I'm going to read this from the ESV. It says this, "Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. Then I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, 'Behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them, and they will be his people, and God himself will be with them as their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. Death shall be no more, neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore, for the former things have passed away.' And he who is seated on the throne said, 'Behold, I am making all things new.' And he also said, 'Write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true.'" This is such a critical shift in perspective. Notice the direction of travel in verse 2. Often, we think of the afterlife. We think of going up to God, escaping this world to go somewhere else. But John sees the holy city, the New Jerusalem, what we call heaven, coming down. He sees God moving into the neighborhood permanently. The promise here isn't just that our souls float away. It's that God is going to flood this reality with his presence. He is going to heal the earth itself, the tears, the mourning, death, Those aren't just forgotten, they are wiped away by the king who arrives to stay. John is sitting in a prison. Yet he is given a vision that proves the best days aren't in the rearview mirror. The best days are the ones coming down out of heaven. Now, let's take a moment to pray this up. How do we pray Revelation 21 when we're sitting in the middle of a gray Tuesday or Friday, whatever day it is you are listening to this? We need to be honest about the gap. That quote-unquote letdown feeling you have after Christmas, that is actually a theological signaling system. It's your soul recognizing that even the best Christmas celebration is just a shadow of the real feast to come. We often try to numb that feeling or distract ourselves with the next busy project, but a healthier spiritual practice is to let that ache drive us to prayer. See, we live in the in-between. Jesus has come and Jesus is coming back, but right now, it's like we're in the waiting room. So let's pray into that tension. Father, we confess that we often look for satisfaction in days on a calendar. We put so much hope in a holiday, in a gathering, or in a break from work, and when it's over, we feel empty. Lord, thank you for the good gifts of this past season. But teach us not to mistake the signpost for the destination. God, we acknowledge that this world is not yet what it should be. There are still tears. There is still pain. We feel the brokenness in our own bodies and in our relationships. We don't want to pretend everything is fine when it isn't. Jesus, we anchor our hearts in your promise that you are making all things new. Not just that you will make new things, but that you are redeeming and restoring what is here. Give us the patience to wait for your kingdom with active hope. Help us to feel the comfort of your future presence, even in our present struggles. Turn our disappointment into a holy longing for you. Amen. Finally, let's look at how we live this out. If we really believe that the end of the story is God dwelling with us on a renewed earth where justice and love are just the air we breathe, that changes how we handle the post-Christmas blues, doesn't it? First, allows us to reframe the boredom. You see, when the excitement fades, we are left with the ordinary. It's tempting to despise the ordinary, but if God is going to redeem the material world, then our ordinary lives matter. The work you do today, the way you treat your family today, maybe when no one is there to open presents anymore, the way you handle a cold, gray commute, this is the training ground. This is the, quote, long obedience in the same direction that author and pastor Eugene Peterson talks about. We practice living like citizens of the New Jerusalem right now in the middle of old Babylon. Second, use the future to fuel the present. Right, the passage we looked at says God will wipe away every tear. Friends, that is our hope. But it is also our marching order. As people of the kingdom, we get to start that work now. Where can you alleviate someone else's pain today? Where can you be what some have called a wounded healer? In the pattern and practice of your Lord Jesus, where can you bring a small piece of heaven to earth to a neighbor, a coworker, or a frustrated child? But we don't just wait for the new earth. We live as signposts pointing towards it. If you're listening to this with your family or friends in the car, or even if you just want to journal later, here's a few things that you can kind of chew on and reflect on a little bit more. Number one, be honest about the letdown. Ask yourself, ask your family, ask friends you might be talking about this with, how do you actually feel now that the decorations are coming down? Don't just rush to fix the feeling. Just acknowledge it. Number two, dream a little. Like in this passage, we heard about a place with no tears and no pain. Which part of the new heaven and new earth sounds like the most appealing and satisfying to you right now? Is it the lack of sickness? The end of conflict? The physical presence of Jesus? And number three, shift the focus. How can you remind yourself this week that Jesus is the hope, not the holiday? To the excitement of December 25th is a beautiful thing, but it always has an expiration date. The hope of Revelation 21 does not. We are not moving away from joy. We are moving toward it. The King is coming, and he is bringing the new city, the new Jerusalem, with him. Let that truth color your day today. Thanks for tuning into the Drivecast. We'll see you back here tomorrow.